the presentation of our third quarter results. As usual, I will give you the highlights of these results. Then Carole Ferrand, Group Chief Financial Officer, will guide you through the details of our Q3 performance. And I am, of course, assisted by Aiman Ezzat and Thierry Delaporte, the two Chief Operating Officers. They will participate to our Q&A session at the end of the presentation. Now, start with the first slide. The good dynamic we had seen in the first half continued in the third quarter, and we delivered a performance this quarter absolutely in line with our objective. The revenue growth is +5.9% at constant currency. Our revenues amounted to 3,468 million euro this quarter, and for the first nine months, the growth stands at 6.1%. This growth momentum continues since several quarters. Next, our bookings amounted to 3.411 million euro this quarter, growing by +19.6%. We continue to strengthen our leadership in digital and cloud, which is our main growth engine. Our activities in these fields grew by above 20% year-on-year, and we believe that strong growth in digital is a long-term trend. We continue to see a strong appetite from our clients everywhere. About some clients, one of Capgemini's strengths is our ability to deliver value to our clients through business-focused and innovative solutions, and this is demonstrated in many of our third quarter wins, where we are often positioned as the bridge between business and IT for our clients. I'm very pleased to say that Capgemini will continue as a strategic supplier to Her Majesty Revenue and Customs, primarily providing data, digital, and cloud technologies alongside application management service until June 2022. For Accor, the single largest hospitality company in Europe and the sixth largest worldwide, we are bridging the gap between technology and business with a new cloud-native data warehouse, unlocking new customer insights through artificial intelligence. At Farmers, the insurance company in North America, we have been chosen as the new implementation partner for Guidewire ClaimCenter, and in manufacturing with Baker Hughes, Capgemini industrial IoT solution connects machine manufacturing operations and people. Looking at the revenue and the balance growth, as I told you, we see an increasing demand for digital and cloud driving our growth and increasing profitability. In terms of geography, as announced in the first half call, our performance in North America has improved with a constant currency growth of +3.5%. Continental Europe remains structurally strong in all countries, even if it is a little less buoyant market than previously. We achieve a very satisfying growth of around 6%. Once again, the growth in APAC and Latin America is strong at 16.6%, notably driven by the very healthy Asia-Pacific region. Moving forward in Q4, we see softness developing in the market, which is being amplified by some unusual year-end tightening in some places and sectors. For example, in the U.K., we now see a slowdown in both public and private sector due to the Brexit uncertainties. We hope this wait-and-see attitude will not last long. Banking subsector remains tight, among others due to end-of-year budget management. However, we know how much investment in IT is key to the bank's production environment, and it cannot last during many quarters. Outside of banking, we see that Continental Europe is solid and remains our growth driver. Outlook: given the softer environment developing in this year-end and our views of the market, we update our constant currency revenue growth outlook for 2019 that will be now around 5.5%. This 5% rate was the low end, as you well know, of our initial guidance, and we confirm our operating margin and organic free cash flow outlook, operating margin between 12.3% and 12.6%, organic free cash flow for the year in excess of 1.1 billion euro. This will represent a solid performance for 2019. And considering our excellent bookings momentum and the growth of our activities in digital and cloud, we can look to the year 2020 with ambitions. A last word on Altran. You all understand the rationale of the acquisition of Altran, an opportunity to accelerate our ambition in intelligent industry. Since our last call, end of July, we moved several steps forward. After the clearance of the French Financial Market Authority, the offer at a price of 14 euro per share opened on October 16. We just issued a press release earlier today as we obtained the merger control clearance from the European Commission. We have now obtained all the required regulatory clearance. As you might be aware, a claim against the AMF clearance has been filed. Anyhow, we are confident in our ability to complete the transaction and create a world leader in digital transformation of industrial company. In addition to Altran, we will continue to execute our agenda of targeted acquisition. We acquired Conexus Consulting, a leading strategy and management consultancy for the energy industry in the German market. They advise major energy companies, municipal utilities, mobilities, and new digital player. I'm sad that I made a mistake. The guidance is, of course, around 5.5 and not around 5. To avoid any misunderstanding, I repeat, our new guidance is around 5.5, which is why I said the low end of the guidance. I now hand over to Carole, who will guide you through the details of our revenue.
Thank you, Paul. Let's start with the key trends of this third quarter of 2019. We delivered another solid performance in Q3 with revenues of 3,408,000,000 euros. Organic growth came in line with our expectation at 5%. Taking into account a scope effect of 4.9 points, the constant currency growth reached 5.9%. While a still strong US dollar, the overall impact from currency fluctuations reached 1.5 points, leading to a reported growth of 7.4% for this quarter. On a year-to-date basis, the organic growth stands at 4.9% and 6.1% at constant currency. Two additional comments on scope and FX impact going forward. The scope effect will mechanically come down to around half a point in Q4. This would lead to a full-year impact of around 1 point. This excludes any potential contribution coming from Altran. The impact from currencies is expected to stand around 1.5 points on a full-year basis. Let's move now on to our revenues by regions, and as usual, I will focus my comments on constant currency variation. First, North America, which represents once a third of our group revenues, has recorded a sequential improvement as planned, with 3.5% growth in Q3 versus 0.8% in Q2. This is primarily a reflection of a more favorable comparison basis, and we target these regions to get to group average in 2020. Our activity there was mainly driven by TMT and service sector. While not as dynamic as in H1, U.K. and Ireland, which represent 12% of group revenues, remained robust in Q3 with a 6.3% increase in revenues. Manufacturing, financial services, and energy and utilities were the most dynamic sector in the past quarter. France, which with 20% of group revenues, delivered a growth of 5.6%, which is a solid performance after a strong H1. This growth was mainly fueled by the services and manufacturing sectors. The rest of Europe, which accounts for 26% of group revenues, kept its momentum with a 6.1% growth. In that region, Nordics and Italy proved to be dynamic. The manufacturing and consumer goods sectors were the main growth drivers during the past quarter. Finally, Asia Pacific and Latin America enjoyed a steady growth of 16.6% in Q3. This performance was primarily driven by the contribution of the financial services and manufacturing sectors in Asia Pacific. Overall, it's worth noting that all those evolutions came as anticipated. Let's look now at our revenues by business line. Let me remind you first that since January 1st, we measure our activity level by the constant currency growth of the total revenues generated by each business line. So before the elimination of internal billings between business lines. Strategy and Transformation Services reported another strong quarter with a growth of 14.6% to the total revenue in Q3. As in H1, this performance was mainly driven by the manufacturing and energy and utility sectors. Application and Technology Services, our core business line, increased their total revenues by 4.7% with pretty broad growth drivers spanning from energy and utilities to services, consumer goods and retail, and manufacturing sectors. Lastly, Operations and Engineering Services saw their total revenues grow by 7.7%. It's worth noting that all components of this business line contributed to this solid growth. More specifically, total revenues of Digital Engineering and Manufacturing Services recorded double-digit growth, while the growth recorded in infrastructure services was further boosted by the latest cyber acquisition. Moving on now to our revenues by sectors. Financial services revenue grew by 3.1% in the last quarter. The banking sector remained quite contrasted in Q3, but is getting globally softer than in the first half of the year. On the other hand, insurance grew nicely. In the wake of H1, energy and utilities both posted another robust performance with a growth of 8.2% in Q3, with strong performance in the UK and in the Nordics. The manufacturing sector reached a peak in Q3 at 11.2%, while auto, as expected, starts to be affected in some regions by market conditions. We continue to deliver strong performance in manufacturing globally. This has been fueled by France, Germany, and the UK, but also Asia. Consumer goods and retail grew 6.6% with a very solid performance in the rest of Europe. Public sector and TMT posted muted growth stemming from contrasted performance across our geographies. Finally, in services, we grew by 13.9% with very strong performance across our geographies, most notably in transport services. A quick look at our bookings now. Bookings amounted to €3,411,000,000 in Q3, up 19.6% at constant currency. This brings our 9 months bookings to €10.5 billion, which represents a steady 9.2% growth at constant currency. We feel that this strong growth in bookings is a true achievement in the context of a softer economic environment. This performance also reflects our ability to sign larger deals. And finally, moving on to the headcount evolution. The total headcount reached 219,500 employees at the end of September, up 5.1% year on year. The offshore leverage remains stable at 58%. Our attrition stands at 20.5%. Year to date, and I remind you that we have updated our methodology since Q1 so as to be closer to industry practices. With this, I hand over back to Paul to open the Q&A session.
So, operator, can you collect the first question?
Yes, we have a first question from Mo Mohoala from Goldman Sachs. Sir, please go ahead.
Great, thank you very much. I'm wondering, Paul, if you can just talk us through the nature of the slowdown. I know you commented on the UK and financial service in North America. Do you expect this sort of to be a more short-term slowdown, meaning several quarters? Or how should we think about sort of 2020 in terms of the organic growth progression? Because I think kind of what's implied in Q4 is sort of significantly below the sort of 5-7% growth rate that you've been targeting. So just maybe help us understand the shape and then maybe a bit more detail in terms of sort of at the customer end, what the customers are saying and how their kind of spending plans may kind of evolve. Thank you.
So what we pointed at might look temporary, because we could hope that the Brexit uncertainty will one day be behind us. There are now general elections convened, so we should expect, we should hope the UK to get back to normal. I would say the banking pressure is probably something where there is a temporary dimension, because banks are accustomed to squeeze spend in the last quarter. But we believe that it should get better. I don't say banking will become back a very good segment, notably as long as the interest rate will be pretty low. But we think there is a temporary dimension into that.
And just to follow up on the digital side of the business, which obviously still grew quite well in Q3, are you seeing digital projects coming under scrutiny? Are customers potentially, de-scoping some projects into smaller pieces?
What I would just say is renewed prudence on the fourth quarter is mainly depending on the traditional core. The digital remains untouched because it's probably strategic and vital for the client. But when there is a possibility, people try to weigh on more traditional core IT projects. But so far, we haven't seen delays or doubts about digital projects.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question.
Yes, thank you. We have a next question from Charlie Brennan from Credit Suisse. Sir, please go ahead.
Great. Thanks for taking my question. I've got two, actually. The first is, when I look at the third quarter bookings, the trends look very healthy, and I'm just wondering how we square that with your Q4 caution. Is the third quarter bookings growth merely because it's against an easy comp in the prior year, or does it mean that the deals that you signed are due to start in 2020? And then just as a follow-up, I guess normally when we see revenue struggling to match expectations, we would normally expect to see some margin pressure, but you're obviously maintaining your existing margin guidance. Are you doing anything with the cost base in Q4 to manage that margin profile? Thank you.
Okay, Charles, it's Ayman. On the first question, yes, definitely the Q3 bookings momentum was good, and we do expect a good one in Q4. I think that will be a good baseline for 2020, but it doesn't capture basically some of the tightening of the budget in Q4 that we see from some of the clients, which, to be frank, at some clients we find it a bit unusual. There is always some, but I think some clients we have seen is really big tightening on the discrete spend to try to make up and probably on a softer year for some of them. And the it doesn't capture some of the issues that we see around Brexit, etc. So this is some temporary aspects of Q4 that we cannot compensate with stronger bookings in Q3. We are really focused on closing the deals we have in the pipeline in Q4 to really set a good baseline to start 2020. On the margin side, this is part of you testing our resilience. We did say that the company has become much more resilient, and it's not some slowdown in Q4 that will have an impact on our margin. The agility of the company, the flexibility of its model, is today allow it to be able to absorb some slowdown, and we are definitely going to deliver our guidance on the margin side.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a next question from John King from Bank of America. So please go.
Yeah, good evening, and thanks for taking the questions. So just in terms of the weakness, obviously now you're at the low end of your guidance at the start of the year. I'm just wondering, are you confident that what's happened here is simply just a budget tightening and that projects have been halted? Have you lost any clients at all that you can see, or have you lost any deals? Just how much clarity do you have on that? And then, go ahead.
We haven't lost any clients, and we have not lost, with our bookings record, it's clear that we haven't lost pursuit. We have good bookings, and Ayman just told you that Q4 bookings should be nice too. So it's absolutely not. It's on existing framework agreement, the ability for some client to tighten and reduce what they spend with us.
Okay. And presumably, at risk of asking another question that's kind of already been asked, just on the point on the margin. So obviously, we've got a corridor there. You know, I guess it's a truism that less revenue will mean that, you know, do we need to be thinking about the low end of the range, or is this something where, you know, perhaps there was a lot of this work was being done offshore and you know, there's more flexibility in the cost base with some of this missed revenue?
We did not adjust the margin guidance. We have a margin guidance with a range, and we chose to be explicit about the revenue. We have chosen to maintain the margin guidance as issued.
In terms of fringe. Just to build on to be clear, because to be precise, we do see some softness in the market, and beyond the exceptional thing that we see in Q4, which are a bit unusual, there is a bit of softness in the market compared to what we saw before.
Okay. And I guess maybe I just squeezed on one last one, and in that case, you know, again on 2020, you know, I guess I'm not asking you to give a guidance, but, you know, just to get a framework for, you know, how uncertain the environment is for you. You know, are we saying you can't say at this point, you know, this could get worse and, you know, we could be looking at very minimal growth, or is this a case of, well, we're not yet ready to say we'll be four or five or six, but, you know, we're going to be more or less in the mid-single digit range. Maybe just help us, you know, with what's, I guess, on the table in scope for you as you look into 2020.
Two things. You know, I do believe that the bookings momentum for Q3 and Q4 will set a bit the pace for the beginning of the year. But, John, it's a bit early. I mean, clients haven't finalized their budget for next year, etc. But again, you know, what we're focusing on is the booking momentum we have that we're looking for in Q4 that sets the pace for next year and that basically gives resilience on the growth side. And we continue to see, to be frank, good momentum around digital and cloud. And so that really should set a reasonable pace going into 2020. A bit early, as you imagine, to look at the full year in terms of guidance.
No, I appreciate that. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We have a next question from Michael Breyers from UBS. Sir, please go ahead.
Great. Thank you. Good afternoon. A couple from me as well. Just in terms of the inorganic contribution in the quarter, it was a bit more than I had in my model, but I'm assuming Leidos is a US business, so the vast majority of that contribution should be attributed to North America, in which case I'm assuming not much over 1% organic growth. You've talked before about getting back towards mid-single digits next year. Is that still the plan as of today?
Just on, you said on Q3 or Q4, Michael, your question?
Q3, the contribution this quarter.
Yeah. On the contribution of M&A, I mean, it's not only US, it's a spread, and you tend to always overstate the US portion.
There's some in the rest of Europe. There were several acquisitions, and there are impacts.
You should remember last year there was a doing which was in Europe.
There's 21.
There's June 21. There is Adaptive Labs in the UK. So you're not right to say that most of the acquisition impact is for the US. Not right.
Okay.
It is well spread.
But would you still say that the mid-single-digit North American recovery sometime next year is on cards?
Our target is to—I'll say that with prudence. Our target is to have the North America growing in par with the rest of the group next year.
Okay,
it
and then just
too early to say mid-single-digit. Our target is to bring North America growth to be aligned with the group. Organic growth.
And if you say mid-single digit, I'm giving you guidance for next year, which is a bit
Exactly.
I'm not that clever, Eamon, don't worry.
and we all understand that Eamon feels quite accountable for 2020. Yeah?
Sorry, my last one is, have you noticed any change in the pricing environment then, as I'm sure your competitors have seen this squeeze as well? Is that changing dynamics? And equally, on a cost point of view, does it mean you're more cautious on your investments or hiring or something like that?
So, two things. I mean, there's always, in a certain extent, there's more price competitive because there are larger deals, and there's always more price competitiveness on the large deals. So, but overall, if I look at the same type of deals, the pricing competitiveness has not changed. But because we have more large deals, we're seeing more price competitiveness on these large deals. On the recruitment, you know, when we see a bit softer market in some places, of course, we are more careful on recruitment and on cost management, because we want to confirmation on certain things before we're able to spend more. But on the other side, on what we consider as being critical in some of the resources and some of the investment, we continue because we are quite confident on the growth in digital and cloud, and there we continue to invest. But in some other areas, in terms of overall recruitment pace, etc., we of course have to adapt to somewhat softer market.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a next question from James Goodman from Barclays. Sir, please go ahead.
Good evening. Thank you. Two questions as well, please. The first is more of a slightly pedantic clarification, actually, just on exactly where you're guiding for Q4. I mean, if we take, you know, exactly 5.5% growth, and I think it comes out about 3.5% organic growth for Q4, I guess my question is that what you're saying, or is that overly harsh, and really we should think more about this as being towards the 5.5% at the low end of the previous range, and therefore, you know, perhaps be slightly less specific in terms of how we interpret that Q4 guidance? That's the first question.
We carefully crafted what is written in the press release that I repeated. We now guide you for around 5.5.
For the full year.
At constant currency,
of course.
And I think we're clear that the impact of acquisition is much less in Q4. Huh?
Yeah, it's 1% for the year. That's clear. Okay, thank you. I guess more interestingly, I wanted to ask you about the last quarter. I think you announced that you were partner of the year with SAP on Microsoft Azure. Of course, we saw a very large deal announced by SAP and Microsoft recently. Microsoft have committed to a certain sort of license volume from SAP there. Just curious if that is potentially of significant benefit to you over the coming period, how you would play into that and how that might affect your sort of bookings or outlook.
Maybe Thierry on the...
Yeah, certainly SAP and Microsoft are among, you know, our most, you know, closest partners, where we have, you know, developed significant relationship over the last years and very strong leadership position. So great growth coming from these two partners, and for sure, S/4HANA is a big driver of it as it relates for SAP.
So we should benefit.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a next question from Nils Chair from Redburn. So please go ahead.
Hi, thanks very much indeed for taking the question. Just drilling in, obviously you've highlighted and been quite specific that your cautiousness is driven by banking in North America and then a public and private sector in the UK. Is it just those areas, or are you flagging a more general slowdown in other parts of the sort of activity levels elsewhere within the group?
I think, good question actually, but I think I said that continental Europe net of banking is quite resilient, that the demand is there.
But we did say clearly that there is some softness overall, and with something more acute in the UK and in banking. And banking is not just in North America, banking is globally. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, sorry to ask this question, it's probably a little bit unfair, but in any sense, has there been a little bit of management distraction over Q3, given the Altran acquisition and all of the necessary administration that's gone on towards that?
No, because Frankly, the two COOs are fully on operation, and I deal with Altran mainly with a law firm with the help of Pierre-Yves Cros. So all the attention was truly on legal details and legal games. So it was really managed. Pierre-Yves is now sitting next to me, so neither Ayman nor Thierry spend time on Altran, so no distraction there.
Okay, and once again, a slightly unfair question, but it's already been flagged that if we reverse engineer the guidance as it now stands for the full year, it kind of implies organic growth in Q4 of sort of 3-3.5%. As things stand today, if we were looking out over the next year or so, that's the kind of, with the current macroeconomic scenario you see at the moment, that's the kind of growth you would expect? Or would the order intake that you've achieved in Q3
right.
and your expectations for Q4 lead you to be more optimistic than that?
It's a good try to come back to the discussion about the guidance for next year.
Sorry. Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you. We have a next question from Laurent Dor from Kepler Chevreux. So please go.
Yes, thank you. Good evening. A few questions as well on my side. First, coming back on the margin resistance, could you give us more color on the buffer that you have and also confirm that your restructuring charge for the year is unchanged at 80 million, I think. The second point is on the great bookings you had in the third quarter, just wanted to check that the split between the new wins and the renewals is similar to the previous year. And my final question is, I'm struggling to see how much of the issue is the UK when we talk about the deceleration of 1.5. Can we say half of it is coming from the UK and could be just a short-term issue? Is it just more spread throughout the regions? Thank you.
So I never could get from Carole her buffer, so we'll see if she shares them more with you, Laurent, but I doubt it. I'll just say we do not plan to add an extra round of restructuring, so we maintain the restructuring. Where are your buffers, Carole?
So not only are we maintaining our indication of the level of restructuring around 8 million euros, but confirm that our profile has drastically changed, as you know. So as we mentioned at the end of H1, digital and cloud project where they come at scale do bring some resilience because the price point is higher. Additionally, as you know, in terms of cost base, we've got 2/3 of our cost base, which are in flexible geographies. So that helps, and that makes quite a big difference.
And on the Q3 bookings, Ayman, renewal versus new?
I haven't dived into that, Laurent. I haven't seen anything unusual, but I think Vincent can get back to you on this one, but I really don't have, I haven't looked at it.
Nothing spectacular, but we will come back.
Yeah.
And on the UK, impact?
Yeah, we're not going to size impact UK versus banking versus the softness versus this long. I mean, that we flag today what we see as being the main drivers of the slowdown we see coming into Q4. In February, when we announced the full year, to see what has been the actual impact of some of the drivers. It's a bit early.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I think we might take a last one if there is one. If not, we stop there because I think we start to repeat. You try to get more from us about 2020. Try to get more from us than the guidance, and I think we should keep there. So thank you, everybody, and we will meet some of you during a conference, roadshow, and actually I will be in London. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the conference call. Thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect.